I invite your attention to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament is the book of Ecclesiastes because it teaches us so much about life. Sometimes we hear things and we wonder, where did they come from? And I sometimes like to read about the origin of old sayings. I remember when I was a boy, sometimes I'd say to my grandmother, how did you know that? And she'd say, a little bird told me. And if you read Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20, you will find where it came from. It said, curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Little bird told me. Ecclesiastes had a lot of things about life. And tonight I'm going to look in chapter 11. And Josh always asks me what the title is. And so tonight we're just going to call this the washing powder sermon. Okay. We've talked about Rice Krispies this morning. We're going to talk about washing powder tonight. And you'll get it in just a moment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that you've loved us and cared for us. Lord, we ask you tonight that you bless in this service, that you touch us tonight and guide us and direct us in the way you have us to go. Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to send thy Son Jesus, and let us tonight lift him up and glorify him and magnify him so that the world might know there is a Savior that can save them this evening. Let us tonight go forth now and do your work in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he tells us some things about life. Most of the book of Ecclesiastes has been very negative. But here he gives us some great answers to how that we should live our life day by day. How that a church should operate. How that Christians should live their lives. And in verse number 1, he gives us a challenge to trust. Notice what he said. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the water. Now the first picture in my mind has always been taking a piece of loaf bread and tossing it on some water and seeing it get soggy and sink away. But that's not exactly what Solomon had in mind here. For the bread as you and I know today was not invented at that time, was not around at that time, but he's talking here about grain. He's talking about grain that has been harvested out of the field, and they would put it on ships and send it to faraway ports. That there that ship would unload that cargo and make them a profit and bring them money back at a later time. And, a lot of risks were involved. Ships could be lost at sea. Pirates could take the ship. A lot of things went in to this. And so Solomon is telling us here that there are many risks involved, but we have to make a challenge. And he gives us a challenge that we're to trust the Lord tonight. You see, tonight we as God's people in God's church must invest in the work of the Lord. We have to put our bread, that is our time and our talents and our treasures, into the work of the Lord and put it and trust it in his hands. And he said many days after that, it will produce a work for the Lord. Now you think about tonight, and I think sometimes we think when we read this and when we read other passages of Scripture that it's always going to be a great overwhelming success immediately. But this evening, that's not exactly what Solomon is teaching us here. He's telling us we have to trust into the Lord. We have to tonight take what God has blessed us with. We cast it upon the waters, and we let God bless it the way that he wants to bless it this evening. Now, the reason that I wanted to call it the washing powder sermon is that I said I'd say a little bit more about Wednesday night in the sermon. I received a letter from the Monroe County Baptist Association one day this week, and I meant to bring it, and I forgot it. Y'all forgive me for that. I'm like the old fellow that liked to play golf, but he got to where he couldn't see. And he had a friend that went with him who could see but couldn't play golf, and he'd tell him where the ball was. And so one day he went to play golf, and his friend didn't show up, so he's sitting there all dejected. And another fellow came up and said, "What's the matter?" And he explained the situation to him, and he said, "Well, I've just had surgery. I can see good as an eagle. I'll know exactly where your ball went, and you come, and I'll show you. I'm 80 years old, but I can see the ball." He said, "All right." So, man, he teed his ball up and hit it down the fairway, and the man said, "Man, yeah, that's a great drive. Hit right in the center of the fairway." And they started walking, and they got about 100 steps, and the man said, "Where's my ball?" He said, "I forgot." So sometimes I forget. I forgot the letter. Basically what it was, of course, the Monroe County Baptist Association has a time each month when senior adults gather at various churches, and they do have a different kind of services. And in April, they're going to have the service going to be at Meadowood Baptist Church. And they're going do their ministry, but they're putting together, and I forgot the exact size of the package, I'd have to look that up, but of washing powders. And it had to be unscented, and I can't remember all of the descriptions. And they're going to put it in little packets and send it to the Ronald McDonald House in Memphis, which houses a lot of people that come to Memphis, to Le Bonheur Hospital and other places, whether they're at St. Jude's and a lot of other places when their children are there. And Ronald McDonald House has them a place to stay for free and lets them stay there free. And this washing powder, this detergent, will be used there in that place where they can wash their clothes and have clean clothes to wear day by day. And so I thought it might be a good thing that we'd get some washing powders. And Wednesday night, the ones that's not practicing cantata, if they go out with me in the fellowship hall, we'll put in those little packages and donate it to the Monroe County Baptist Association. You see? That okay with everybody? Y'all didn't know I have a business meeting during a sermon, did you? But the Lord said, that's what He's saying. We do this. Somebody said, "What will that do?" It'll glorify Jesus. It comes up from the Lord. And somebody may see that little package and they put a little note on it, and it testifies to the glorification of the Lord. Who knows tonight what person might be reached through that ministry tonight? And so that's what Solomon is saying here. We have to cast our bread upon the waters. We have to accept the challenge and trust God to do the work. You know, when we trust the Lord with what we have, He'll bless. We send money to mission, but then we simply pray for God's hand to be used this evening. You know, after the tornado happened, and Desi and I, of course, lost a lot of things, and God has blessed so abundantly. I've heard from people that I hadn't heard from in many, many years who called and wanted to help, wanted to do things, and what a wonderful blessing that was tonight. And, you know, I read about a man who wrote a letter each year about what God had done for him in the past year and sent it out to his family and many other friends during the month of January. And he said he thought it was a futile effort. He never heard very few positive comments about it. But one day he got a call from his sister, and his brother-in-law had been saved, and this had took 52 years. Can you imagine 52 years? And he said that he'd been reading those letters, and he kept seeing how God was blessing him, and God finally touched his heart this evening. How long will it take? I have no idea. Solomon said, after many days, it might take a long time. But tonight, I really believe tonight that God will bless if we cast our bread upon the waters. Some of the best time you'll ever spend tonight is witnessing for the Lord. I'm not... tonight, saying this evening that we have to go out and buttonhole people. We don't have to just stop people on the street. We don't have to do a lot of the things that people talk about witnessing. That's living our daily life. That's just being a witness for the Lord as we live day by day this evening. And so tonight, Solomon gives us here a challenge that we must face, a challenge tonight to trust in the Lord. We have to trust God tonight to take what we use tonight and give unto Him. And then He gives us tonight an opportunity to seize. Notice what He said in verse 2. Give a portion to seven, also to eat. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. He's talking here about having a party, hosting a feast, as they would have in those days. You know, when you read the Gospels and Jesus would go to houses where this evening they were hosting a feast, you find tonight that's what he's talking about here, that he's hosting a feast, he's having a party, and he says, you need to do it before you can. You need to do what you need to do before you get to where you can't this evening. You know, what's your regret? You ever thought about that? What is the biggest regret that you could have in your life? You know, we all have regrets. We all look back and say, we wish we'd have done this. But what's our biggest regret tonight? You think about that. It's usually not that we didn't work enough. It's usually not that we didn't spend enough time on the job. It's usually tonight that we didn't spend enough time doing things that we no longer are able to do this evening. What he's saying here is that we have to do it before you can't. We have to tell people of our love, and we have to tell people that we appreciate them while they're still here. Now, as I've told before, and you know, when someone dies and we have a funeral service, a memorial service, and people are there and they're grieving because of the loss of that loved one this evening. But you know, tonight, one of the greatest problems with grief tonight is that people are looking saying, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have told them I loved them. I wish I'd told them I'd appreciated them. I wish I'd have done more for them. I wish I'd have visited them more often. And that's what Solomon is teaching us here tonight, that when we tonight are living in this world tonight, there are so many things tonight that we don't take the opportunity to do while we can. Then we look back and say, well, I wish I'd have done that. You know, I read about a man that he said he used to carry his mother out for a ride on Saturday sometime, and he was always real busy, but he said he went and got her, and she loved to go to antique shops, but he paid like he didn't even see it and just drive on by. And he said that now as he looked back, he wished he'd have stopped every one of them and let her go in and see. You know, tonight we get so busy and so wrapped up that we really don't do the thing that really matter, do we? We don't take advantage of the opportunity that God gives us to love and appreciate other people, to love and appreciate the things that God has blessed us with this evening. You see, he's saying here that we need to take advantage of the time that God has given us to live generously. To live generously this evening. Do we take advantage of that tonight? When we look into the casket of someone, do we regret that we didn't take enough time to spend with them? That we didn't take enough time to say, I appreciate you, that I love you. Are we really tonight taking advantage of the time that God gives us here upon this earth to live as we should live? Think about that tonight. And then he gives us a simple truth. He said, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He said, don't dwell on what can't be changed. Now, a lot of things happen in life that we can't change. Sometimes we think, well, if we could go back. Sorry, you can't. We can't go back in time. I don't have a time machine. We can't go back to the future. We can't alter what's taken place in the past. We can't dwell on that tonight because that's already happened. It's already taken place tonight. We can't live in yesterday. A lot of folks tonight are dwelling on what took place yesterday, what took place last year or last week. in the last, next to the last church I pastored before I came here, I had a man that was a very dear friend, very wonderful church member, and a very great guy. He had a son and a daughter, and his daughter was married to a very supposedly successful young man. One day his son-in-law was arrested for hiring a hitman to kill the man's daughter. And he had treated this young man as a son. I mean, it was, you just had to know the situation. But he got so wrapped up in that, so caught up in that, he got so bitter. And that's all he would dwell on, all he would ever talk about. And I remember, even after I left the church, I'd go to see him sometimes, and he got in the hospital, and one Christmas, Kevin and I went over to the hospital to see him, and that's all he talked about. He was just so bitter, just so, it was just eating him alive. And as we were coming back home, Kevin said, "It's going to kill him, isn't it, Daddy?" I said, "Yes, son, it is." And sure enough, it did. I have no doubt that he died from a bitterness of the soul. He was just so wrapped up in that. And I kept telling him, "Listen, brother, God bless. God intervened. Your daughter's okay. You found out what he was. You lost some money invested in his life, and you lost some trust that you had, but God bless." But nothing would erase the bitterness he had in his life. You know, we can get all bitter tonight about things that happened in the past. We can live in the past. But you know, it's still going to be the past. It's still going to happen. Nothing we can do can change that tonight. That's what Solomon's saying here. Hey, the tree, it's already fallen. It doesn't matter. It's fell. It's there. It's over. It's not going to spring back up and grow again and grow new life. It's fallen to the ground. I was at a church one time, and they lived in the past. All they could talk about was what happened when a certain preacher was there. And I know he didn't want that, but that was all they ever dwelt on. How bad every pastor they'd had from that time that he had left, and how bad each pastor was, and how great he was. And I finally told them, "Y'all living in the past. The man's dead. The man's gone. He was a great man, but he don't want you to idolize. He worked for the Lord tonight. We can't live tonight in the past. We can't live in bitterness. It's already over. We can't go back and change that." He said we have to live in the present. We have to live for God and do what the Lord wants us to do in the present this evening. And then he said, "Excuses, excuses, excuses. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap." You know, we can simply make excuses, or we can simply get to it. You know, we went by a lot of things. We would never get anything done, would we? I used to have a lady in the church that it didn't matter what it was. She could find some reason we shouldn't do it. You know, it was either too rainy, it was too hot, it was too expensive, it was something. Always something. And I finally told her one day, I said, "Well, I don't guess we should do it because somebody stole my radio." So I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, if you ain't want to do it, one excuse as good as another." Isn't that true? You know, we tonight, we can look around and always find an excuse why not to do something. We can always say, "Hey, it might rain. It might not rain. I'm not going to sow because it's going to rain," or "don't look like it's going to rain. I better not sow because it won't grow." What's Solomon saying here? Hey, we can always find an excuse not to do something. But when we don't do it, we might as well not expect any harvest tonight. You know, when God said to Moses, out of the burning bush, "I want you to go and speak to my people," and the Lord said, "Oh, wait a minute. I stutter. I can't do that." And the Lord said, "Hey, Moses, ain't you talking anyway, it's me." You know, he said, well, I'll get Aaron to be your mouthpiece, but you know, I read the scriptures, always Moses doing the talking when you get down to it. Why? The Lord was doing the talking. What did Gideon say? Oh, Lord, I'm the youngest in my father's house. You don't want me to lead your army. We can always find an excuse not to do something. But tonight when we'll put it in God's hand and say, here it is tonight, we're not going to make any excuses. We're going to do it anyway. The Lord will bless it. I guarantee you that this evening. Then he gives us a hard pill to swallow. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that was in child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We don't know everything. Talked about here the way of the Spirit. And if you notice, the Spirit there is not capitalized. And sometimes when it's not capitalized, it literally means the wind. The word Spirit literally means breath of God. And when it's capitalized, it always means the Holy Spirit. And here we can see it both ways. We don't know the works of the Spirit tonight. I don't know how the Holy Spirit works in somebody's life. I can't see how the Spirit of God works in people. But I also can't see the wind tonight. We don't even know the way of the wind. The winds change, don't they? You know, you look at TV 9, 6 o'clock, and the weather forecaster, meteorologist, I guess they call them now, they'll tell you it's going to rain tomorrow. At 10 o'clock, the winds change. Now it's not going to rain tomorrow. I mean, and I'm not making fun. I mean, that just, they can't always accurately predict everything because they don't know exactly what the wind's going to do. They can look at patterns and they can look at things that happened before and they can study all of this stuff. But all at once, God can intervene and send the wind a different way, can't he? That's what he's saying. We don't know everything. Things change. He said, we don't know how that the baby grows in the womb. That's amazing when you think about that. Notice what it said. Nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. How do those bones grow? They can tell us about the mechanics of it, but they can't tell us the mystery of it, can they? I see these little babies, and I think, well, how did God develop them in the womb of that mother? We don't know about that. We can't understand that. We can't go out and manufacture blood. Bones? Why do they have to take bone marrow? Because tonight we can't manufacture it. She's having fun, isn't she? Hey, we don't know everything tonight. We can't understand all things. You know, sometimes we wonder why that maybe we're overlooked. Maybe we're denied. Maybe our hopes get dashed, and we wonder, why, Lord? Sometimes I have to say, I don't know. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture found over in the New Testament, and you listen carefully to these words tonight, and if you don't remember anything else I said, please remember what the Lord says in these verses this evening. And I'll get there in a minute. I'm getting slower in my old age. Listen to it. It said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. His ways past finding out. We don't understand everything. We don't know everything tonight. God's got a purpose in everything he does. We may not even live long enough to see the purpose, to be fair with you this evening. But why tonight does he put certain people in certain places? I don't know. God knows tonight. And quickly he says, verse 6, we'll live on the sunny side. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. He said, you know, you sow in the morning and you sow in the evening. You do what you do and leave the rest to the Lord and be optimistic about it. It's His work. What He's saying to you and I tonight is we just need to keep sowing. We just keep sowing. Somebody says, is that doing any good? I don't know. I'm sure it is. I don't mean that wrong, but I might not see some of the results. We send out packages through Operation Christmas Child. We send money to Dr. Adrian Rogers to preach on the radio. We send money to the county home. We send money to various missions. And I don't know all the results, but I'll assure you God is blessing some of that tonight. So what are we supposed to do? We just keep doing. We just keep on. We just keep on doing. That's what He's saying tonight. That's how we are to live for the Lord in this world tonight. Ecclesiastes sometimes is a very negative book, but here he gets very positive. And in the last few verses, and I'm not going to dwell on this very quickly because it, part of it probably should be in the other chapter in some ways because the other chapter explains these verses, the next chapter, but he said that don't forget, young or old, don't forget the Lord. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Boy, hasn't the sun been pretty this week? Oh, hallelujah. I walked in mud so long it was glory to God to see the sun. Amen. Hallelujah. What's a pleasant thing to see the sun? You know, even beyond that, it's a pleasant thing that when you wake up in the morning, you're able to see the sun. Amen. You know, the senior citizen's song is, best part of waking up is waking up. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You see, no matter what else takes place, don't ever forget the Lord. Always give Him first place in your life. Because one of these days we're all going to stand before Him. And we're going to give an account for what we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. I hope tonight that the Lord can look at me and some of it's been good. A lot of it's been bad, but thank God tonight, some of it, I hope, will be good. Tonight we live in this world. We live in the nasty now and now. But God's always with us tonight, folks. And one of these glorious days is going to take us home to be with Him. What a wonderful time that'll be. But for now, let us take the advice of the writer of Ecclesiastes and live life as God would have us to live it in these days upon the earth. All right, you'll stand together with me for the Bruce and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you simply take this very simple sermon, do this night for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us in Jesus' name.